Monday, December 2, 2019, Dakota County Board of Equalization meeting at 1 o'clock, Dakota County Board of Commissioners meeting at 1:02 p.m.
I don't know what the little Sanders cost, you know. I don't even know what the big one cost if we got into a one-ton or a two-ton truck.
We need one in front of Tony's fence.
We just bought that from the state yard, I think.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, thank you. We will call to order the Dakota County Board of Equalization for December 2nd. It is 1 p.m. We'll start with the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Can you call roll, John?
Kevin?
Here.
Larry?
Here.
Janet?
Here.
Marty?
Here.
Tony?
Here.
A current copy of the Open Meetings Act is posted on the west wall near the entrance of the County Board meeting room and is available for review by all citizens in attendance. We will start with the consent agenda items. And we have one item on there, and that's approval of the previous minutes for November 18th, 2019.
Larry?
Yes.
Janet?
Yes.
Marty?
Yep.
Tony?
Yes.
Kevin?
Yes. Okay, we'll move on to new business. Jeff Curry, assessor, requesting board to approve tax list correction on parcel 22001803-0. All right, Jeff.
Thank you. What we have here is another homestead change. This one here, when they initially came in, qualified for 50% based on income information provided to my office. They had some questions on some things, and we had them contact the state, so we provided the state with all their information that we had. The state went back through and bumped them up to 100% on it. So, and we have not heard why or what evidence they had to do it, but it's not our call. It's theirs. So the state took them from 50 to 100% after we did our tax list, so we have to do a tax list correction on it. So this is one where we actually lose versus the last ones. It worked a little better in our favor. This one here goes the other way.
All right. Well, pretty straightforward. I mean, their decision, and
yeah,
abide by it.
Yeah, they do get that. They don't like to say that, but they do get the final say. If you ever ask them, they'll say no.
All right. Well, I need a motion to approve the tax list correction.
I'd make a motion.
Second that.
Janet?
Yes.
Thanks, Jeff.
Yep.
Tony?
Yes.
Kevin?
Yes.
Larry?
Yes.
Okay. We'll move on to mail and or emergency business. We have none of that, so we'll open it up to public comment for the Board of Equalization. Anyone has any comments? All right. We will adjourn. It is 1:04 p.m.
All right. At that time, we'll go ahead and start our regular commissioner meeting. A current copy of the Open Meetings Act is posted on the west wall near the entrance of the county board meeting room and is available for review by all citizens. Let's take roll.
Martin?
Yep.
Tony?
Yes.
Kevin?
Here.
Larry?
Here.
Janet?
Here.
At this time, we take public comment. If there's anybody who has anything to comment on that's not on the agenda for today, now would be the time to come forward. All right. Seeing there's nobody, we'll go ahead and move on. We'll move to consent agenda items. Approval of the previous minutes from November 18th, 2019, and the account payables claim. I came in earlier, went through payroll, and there were a few accounts payable with the on some insurance. Everything appears to be in order, so I go ahead and stamp that off at this time.
I'll make a motion to approve the consent agenda items.
I'll second it.
Tony?
Yes.
Kevin?
Yes.
Larry?
Yes.
Janet?
Yes.
Martin?
Yep. All right, under new business, board to approve payroll claims for the period from November 17th to November 30th, 2019. I did go through payroll, and again, everything seemed to be in order.
I'm going to approve that payroll claims.
I'll second it. Kevin?
I'll abstain.
Larry?
Yes.
Janet?
Yes.
Martin?
Yep.
Tony?
Yes.
And next, approved chair to sign acknowledgement of lease purchase finance agreement with D.A. Davis as a placement agent. Just a little.
Do you want to just explain that just a little bit?
Yeah, me too. Good afternoon. I'm Paul Grieger with D.A. Davidson. I'm covering for Andy Forney from our office today. One of the first formal steps we have to ask you to do is, as we complete the financing, is to sign an engagement letter acknowledging our role as placement agent in working with the county and NACO on these. I have for you some folders, if I could pass these out. That'll be facilitate maybe our conversation here this afternoon.
All right.
This action item would just be to acknowledge D.A. Davidson's role as placement agent for the NACO lease purchases. And then as the conversation develops, we have some financing scenarios in the folder that we can talk about that will apply to both lease purchase financings and possible refinancing of bonds as outlined on the agenda.
Okay, so right now we just need the chair to be acknowledged to sign this lease purchase financing agreement with D.A. Davis. It's not committing to anything. It's just saying that we have the ability to do that.
Right. You won't commit yourself until further down the line.
Further down the line.
Yeah. I'll make that motion.
Second.
Larry?
Yes.
Janet?
Yes.
Mark?
Yes.
Kevin?
Yes.
Yes.
All right. So approve resolution 19C-039 approving and authorizing the acquisition of sheriff's law enforcement vehicles and related equipment through a lease purchase agreement with NACO Leasing Corporation by D.A. Davis and authorizing chair to sign agreement and related certificate documents with regard to that lease purchase. And we had talked in our last meeting about the purchase of the vehicles for the sheriff's department. Mm-hmm. And so this is just the next step in doing that. So
that's correct. So the resolution would authorize lease purchase financing with two purposes. One, not to exceed $120,000 for sheriff's vehicle. And the second purpose would be not to exceed $35,000 for the pickup truck.
And those are on the left side of our pamphlets here.
So we think the realistic dollar amount for the pickup truck is going to be a financing of $33,445.91. Andy thought it was prudent to just round up a little bit for purposes of the legal documents. So that's why the numbers are round in the resolution and more refined in the analytics.
Okay.
Well, I'll make a motion to approve 19C-039.
Second it.
Janet?
Yes.
Martin?
Yep.
Tony?
Yes.
Kevin?
Yes.
Larry?
Yes.
All right. Approval Resolution 19C-040, approving and authorizing the acquisition of road department pickup and related equipment through a lease purchase agreement with NACO Leasing Corporation by D.A. Davidson, authorizing chair to sign agreement related certificates and documents. So why don't you go ahead and just run through the nuts and bolts of do the one with the sheriff's office cars first on what we're looking at. With
and so
a motion on
the previous.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Did I call?
Yep.
Kevin and Tony, right?
Yep.
Again, that was the engagement letter, and was that also?
Yep.
Yep.
Which one are we on right now?
Sorry.
The one of the vehicles for the sheriff's office.
Okay, so we went backwards.
Sheriff's office was first.
Okay.
We did backwards then.
039 is the sheriff's office.
That's the one.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, whichever.
And now he was talking about
the
road.
The pickup.
The pickup. So we did the motion on the other one? Is that what happened?
No.
Yeah, okay.
And the attorneys fixed it up so that one resolution would authorize both lease purchases. So you have one resolution for
for
dual purpose.
Okay.
We saved a tree.
Okay.
This way.
And there you go.
Okay. And I don't know if I got that paperwork.
I have.
Okay.
So
you have it. So we'll call that 39, and that does both law enforcement and the road pickup. Okay. So we'll cross that off the agenda.
Items requiring signatures are in this pool.
Okay. Are you straight? You got it?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. All right.
And then the last item to show you would be a possible refinancing of outstanding highway allocation fund pledge bonds from 2015. While there's not a lot out there, it looks like a refinancing would save the county something like $25,000. If you go into that on the right-hand side, I would point out that the interest rates that the county's currently paying is just right at 3%, and we think that in today's market we'd be down closer to 270, 275, which would be $25,000 of net savings to the county, which doesn't quite get you a pickup truck, but it's darn close. So we just wanted to show you that. We didn't bring a formal resolution to act on, but if you like the idea, then acting on the engagement letter would suit our needs there, and then we would come back to you at a future meeting with a resolution to button that up. And we wouldn't propose to close that financing until February at the earliest. So it would take a little time to put the documents together and market the bonds.
How long would that go last? We use.
So the final payment is currently scheduled for July of 2035, and we would leave that payment date as scheduled. We're not going to extend out your payment schedule at all. We'd just be swapping out the current interest rates with slightly lower ones.
Is there a prepayment penalty involved with that at all?
No.
And your cost is the $1,365 for changing it over?
If you go to the first page of the numbers, the bond sizing would be $910,000. We sell bonds in $5,000 denominations. Anticipated legal fees would be about $1,300-$1,400, and then Davidson's fee for selling the bonds would be approximately $11,300. And then the net savings that I'm telling you is after all those expenses.
Then that's the 25 is after you've already taken the.
That's correct.
13, 12, 13.
Yeah, I'd feel bad, Sam. We're going to save you 25 and then turn around and charge you half of it to do it for you. So
I'd feel bad if that happened.
Yeah. So yeah, those are all net as of today. It's possible that interest rates could creep up after the first of the year, and then it doesn't make any sense to do it. This wouldn't commit you to anything. It would just set the stage that if the rates looked good at the time we're going to sell bonds, that there'd be an opportunity to save some money.
And how often can this debt be refinanced?
It's typical in Nebraska to see that every 5 years. Counties are limited to a five-year call.
So. And we're at our five-year right now.
We're just sneaking up on it yesterday.
So the principal of balance that we would refinance would be exactly the same, right?
So let me, if you go to page two, the par amount of bonds being refinanced is $890,000. That's in the third paragraph of numbers. The par amount of the new bond issue is $910,000. So there's a difference there of $20,000. But if you go back to the first page, there's a rounding amount of about $4,800 that would come back to the county. Because we still bond some $5,000 denoms. And we could even, on something like this, we could probably shrink that down to $1,000 denoms just to reduce that rounding amount. And either way, it's the county's money and it comes back to you. That doesn't go away.
If I'm looking at the same bond you are, which we only had one bond due in February of 2020 with 5 years, I show that we still owe $1,220,000 on that. So I'm not sure where you're getting that bond par amount.
Let me.
And I'd like to visit with you on that just to make sure we're.
I can clarify that, I think, right away. And I think this paperwork will do that for us. Since there's several pages in here, let me find the one that I think does it the easiest. So, because the. If you go to page 9. We can look at pages 8 and 9 together, actually. Because the interest rates on the bonds maturing sooner than later are lower than the bonds maturing later than sooner, what we did here was we would presume, at least in this model, to not refinance maturities occurring now through July of 2024. So page 9 shows us that we're refinancing $890,000 of the $1.2 million outstanding. The reason we're kicking those maturities out is because they would be a drag on the savings, and then you're paying us to refinance maturities that would have negative savings. I hate that term. It sounds silly, but it's one we use in our business. So it would cost you money to refinance those maturities, so we have strategically removed them from the transaction. So going forward, on page 8, you would have the new bond issue on the first column, proposed debt service, and then the second column would be debt service remaining on the unrefunded portion of the bonds that did not make sense, at least at the time we ran this model. If we were going to go forward with this, what we'd want to do is have the documents be flexible enough so that the county could make a decision before we sold those bonds and committed you that we would sell maybe a few more bonds, maybe a few less bonds, just so long as that we were maximizing the savings that would be available at that time.
Does that affect in 5 years to look at it again if we're going 4 years out?
In 5 years, we would be to be 2025, and so then bonds maturing 2026 and beyond would then be eligible for refinancing.
Even though we only really had financed 1 year in between there? Okay.
You would have refinanced all of them.
Well, okay.
We just were leaving bonds, we're leaving maturities unrefunded that you're going to pay anyway. And some counties in some of these in similar cases would say, well, just refund all of them because it's easier to do that and the paperwork is simpler. We just thought an extra step here would save you more money. It's the only reason we didn't throw those all in. And then you're paying us on a larger amount of bonds, perhaps unnecessarily. So if we work on the smaller amount, the savings is higher and the cost of the county is lower. Okay. Is our thought process behind that?
Just for my own curiosity, if you're in a situation and you have you're the current holder of the paper someplace, and somebody else comes in and makes the presentation to save the money, do they generally come back to you and ask you if you're interested in because they're not, my understanding is they're not our current holder of this debt, right?
The current holder would be the marketplace. Would be local banks and individuals, whoever bought the bonds 5 years ago. Those are the only people that currently have an interest in the bonds. So if we were to do this, we would sell a new set of bonds, and then we would along with the county, file a call notice. So all of the debt holders of those bonds would receive 30 days written notice that the bonds are being redeemed.
Okay. Is it a par call or is it
par call?
Premium.
It would be, yeah. Any of this stuff we're doing for you would be bonds would be callable at par plus accrued interest. So there's no call premium.
No premium.
No. That's not very common to see in Nebraska. But that's a very well-educated question. So the folks that own the bonds probably wouldn't be too grumpy with you because they would expect if interest rates are lower, it's your duty to refinance at lower interest rates.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it's probably, you're probably more interested in the county's financial well-being than the bondholders.
Yeah.
But you never know.
So what's the current average rate and what's the proposed?
The current weighted average interest rate is 3%, and that's in the third paragraph of numbers on page 2. And then I like to just go to the true interest cost because I feel like that's the best disclosure statistic.
Yeah.
And the true interest cost is in this model is 2.73. By the time we get to sell bonds, maybe it's 260, maybe it's a little higher. If it was too much higher, then the savings wouldn't justify the transaction.
Refinance.
Yeah, if we got close to 3%, you're saying you're going to save $5,000 on it, then we would agree with you to just hold off and see if the markets improve.
What do you think, guys, gals?
Well, what do you think, Janet?
Probably something to look at, for sure, if we're saving that much money. So you're thinking by February, I guess. I'm just trying to figure out if there's something magical about that.
Well, there is.
That's
when our fight is up.
I get it. That makes sense. These were issues.
Yeah, exactly. 5 years ago.
So we have that five-year non-call.
Yeah.
Got it.
Right.
Yeah, so that redemption date was February 18th. So that tells me that February 18th of 2015, the bonds were issued.
So we would revisit this about that point in time.
Well,
verify that we still have that kind of advantage.
Yeah, what we'd like to do is come back sooner than that because we're in this 90-day window where you can do a current funding, which means we're not triggering any adverse tax consequences. We're able to just sell a new set of bonds and then close them on that date. So what we would like to do would probably be to sell them no earlier than mid-January, and then that marketing date would align itself with the 30-day requirement to notice the existing bondholders. That doesn't mean you have to do it then. It would set the stage, so if we were in mid-January, we would be able to do that. If markets didn't look great and we decided to come sell the bonds in February or March, we would just push that call date and settlement date on the new bonds out accordingly.
So the current people who hold our bonds right now, they don't want to do business with us anymore? Well, they're not in business.
The current bondholders are just investors like you or I that would own the bonds. Would be banks or individuals, whomever the bonds were sold to.
But the original bond seller was?
The original underwriter, right.
Yeah.
It was Emeritus, and they sold the bonds 5 years ago to the same types of customers that Davidson would sell the bonds to.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if they're interested or not.
We haven't been approached by them at this point.
We're not necessarily going to make a decision today.
We're just going to make the decision to...
tell them to go ahead or not go ahead. Do you want that decision made today?
Well, I would like to, if you're comfortable, I'd like the disclosure letter signed, which states that at the earliest point of our conversation, we've told you that we would be acting as an underwriter if the county would move along with us, and not a financial advisor is the difference. A financial advisor's role would be to provide advice, and an underwriter's role would be to do the underwriting like you've always done previous years. The only difference here would be instead of using Davidson just to do the NACO lease purchase, you'd be giving us an opportunity to help you on the bonds as well.
I mean, I'm just asking a question here because I'm kind of new at this, but do we need to do this competitively? I mean, if we're doing a refinancing, you know, maybe, I'm not saying your deal is good, but I'm saying you can save us $25,000, but somebody else can save us $30,000? I mean, I'm just saying, is that a,
that's a fair question.
Something we should be bidding or not?
Well, I would say this. I would say that if you felt a political reason to do that, that would be fine. We work with counties throughout the state daily on these types of financings, and more often than not, we're working because we have a relationship with the county, we've done other work, and we're going to be competitive. We're all selling bonds in the same market, and fees are all comparable. So what we can do is, after we sell the bonds, we can come to you with, okay, Dakota County was in the market on this day. You know, was Pawnee County in the market? Who else was out selling bonds? And if there was another county bond issued deal, was there maybe a school district bond issue that was sold without a rating, like a Verdigris Public Schools or something like that? And we'd say everybody got rates that are darn close to each other. So there's, and that the market is so transparent that it's easy for me to pull those comparables.
Yeah, I just remember a call we did before, we had two competitors.
We did have them. We did.
That was
last time we did.
That was a different situation, yeah. Possibly.
And I would tell you, if you're interested, some color that's gone on in our business anyway is the people that had worked at Emeritus. Some of them were, I guess they were fired, but they left. Mm-hmm. And then those that were kept on staff left as a group and went to a competing firm. So everybody that was at Emeritus, at least for a short time, had left. And then some of those people that were let go were recruited back to rebuild the Emeritus bond business, if you will. So that's not to say that anybody is or isn't in the business, but I will tell you that we're stable. We're still doing the same thing. Not to say that either of those firms wouldn't do a good job. I know where we're at and know what we're capable of. And again, this doesn't commit you. This just kind of gives us a signal that it's okay to start putting the paperwork together. We'll come back and give you a more thorough update out of future board meeting.
Yeah, and I don't think there's any harm in that.
Yeah.
Moving forward and
so.
Getting that information.
I'm sure Andy and Joan will continue to communicate. If there's any surprises there, they'll be able to comfortably talk about those offline so as not to put the county in any awkward position.
So do we need to make a motion to have them continue to go forward in this?
Yes, he can approve.
Yeah. All right. Yeah, I would make a motion to approve that at this point, and then they'll come rejoin us at a future meeting and go through it a little bit more thoroughly.
Probably a January meeting seems to make sense to me.
I'd make that motion.
So what happens if someone else comes along and they got a better deal?
Well, we're not committed to anything at this point.
And my deal's not firm because we haven't sold the bonds. My deal could be better or worse depending on what the market does. So.
Oh, we have no guarantees about anything.
I got no guarantees. That's
well, like life.
It's like life, man.
A lot like life.
All I can promise you is this: is we'll do a good job for you, and we'll give you comparables to demonstrate that we did our best and that you got a fair deal in the marketplace. That's all I can commit to.
I second you.
Right. I appreciate your time.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Joan, if it's okay, would you just have them sign those and drop them in the mail to us?
You bet.
All right. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I'll call roll on that. Martin?
Yes.
Tony?
Yes.
Kevin?
Yes.
Larry?
Yes.
Janet?
Yes. All right, we're going to call Fred, our highway superintendent, come up and give us our report.
November 17th through November 30th. Total road maintenance, 185 hours, overtime hours, 6.5, bridge maintenance, 19.5 hours, garbage pickup, 2 hours, salt sand, snow removal, 74.5, gravel haul, 600 ton, sign repair and barricading, 27 hours. The road concerns that we had a few calls on snow drifting that didn't make it in over Wednesday.
I think Joan sent me the report for the last
30. Is that the right one?
Yeah,
them.
Oh, no, that's not the one I'm looking at. I probably copied something. Oh, there's my equalization agenda.
Recycling your paper again.
If we get another situation like we had over Thanksgiving, and 35 is still closed, can we get some different signage out, like on them? Because that semi may just, it could have been bad. It could have been a mess. Well, it was a mess for 2 hours.
Yeah.
And I don't know, maybe if we could just get, I don't know, more signs put out there. And
have the road closed? Is that,
could you put a load limit on it, Fred? Is that an option? I'm just thinking. I mean,
to get some put a local weight limit. You know, you're still going to have your farmers hauling grain.
Yeah.
Garbage trucks, whatever.
I know.
I saw one fellow going with a load of bales, round bales. They're going like a bullet. I made him over on River Creek. And he, I was coming on to him. Man, he was
flying.
It bit was a semi jackknifed up on there on him. Right?
Correct.
Yeah, it wasn't jackknifed. She just couldn't go anywhere.
Couldn't get up the road, couldn't get down the hill.
Yeah.
But was it local?
I heard.
No.
Oh.
No, but I don't.
She was on her way to Norfolk, she said.
Yes. Yep, she was traveling to Norfolk. And it was just too icy. She got to a certain point. She
ran. Yes, it is too icy this morning. Matter of fact, there's a car that ditch over there. It was a canyon.
I mean, and at this point, we're surely not going to get 35 done this winter.
Not looking. The last time I was out there last week, they probably had 8 to 6 foot of fill yet to put in it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm just thinking, you know, just if the situation arises like that again, if we could just get, you know, more signs.
If you want,
we can just keep putting more and more signs out.
People are just so trusting of their garments, they just take that.
Well, they've been used to just detouring when they're not supposed to.
Yeah. The other thing, you put a note. Go through traffic. That'll get them again, won't it?
But then it comes into enforcement of the whatever we put up.
Oh.
That's Kevin.
Put your gun out.
Yeah, but yeah, if you. We can definitely put up local traffic only, 8-ton, no through trucks. We've done that before. The problem we're having with this is there's so many ways around it, and all different roads to take.
Yeah.
It isn't just as, it's M Avenue, 200 Street, S Avenue, 260, 270th.
Yeah.
You know, all they got to do is go, I came up this road, and it wasn't, there was no signage on it.
Yeah.
But most of the locals are the only ones that know that many. But if we shut down, like you said, M Avenue and 200, S Avenue and 260th, we would have the bulk of it.
Yeah, and it just was one of those things where we had the rain and a little bit of snow, and in a situation like that arises again, I don't know.
Well, I suggest that we do it right away, just to keep the locals are going to keep using it. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's their way to go through it. But maybe that will keep. I think this truck was from Boston or something like that.
It was a J.R.R. England truck.
Yeah,
but
and it was going north. How she ended up going that direction, going to Norfolk, and it was beyond me. But
Fred, down to Homer, the drop off on the asphalt.
Off of where, Larry?
Down by Hill's yard where the drop off along the paving.
Yes, sir. They were doing that gas line when we were filling it in last time. They were in our way, but we'll get it.
Yeah, it'd be good, but it's not good. As a matter of fact, one person said his daughter wound up skidding across the road when it was dry, you know. But whatever. And then Thanksgiving, or when was the plow trucks out? When was that? Thanksgiving?
Wednesday.
Wednesday morning. And I went through a kind of place, and a fellow there, he said, he weighed me down. I thought, oh, now what? Yeah. And he says, thank you very much. I said, what's the matter? What's the deal? He says, you know, I was in and out of the house getting ready to go to work and just getting going. And he said, I heard this terrible noise and I didn't know if it was getting invaded or what. And here's a snow plow went by, he said. At 6 o'clock this morning, he says, man, he said, the first time ever
Well, that's great.
Yeah, that's what I thought. I thought I was going to butt you for something, but, you know, he was happy.
That was a compliment.
That was a good deal. He got out there when he needed to be out there before people go to work. Get to work to pay their taxes.
The ice removal system that the state did on the railroad tracks there on Highway 77 works pretty good because there's ice and snow everywhere when they come over the new tracks on 77 there. It's like, it's quite a deal they got there.
Oh, and down there on 164 toward the other end, I mean, when you're leaving, you swing by and I'll tell you, look, but the water always stands on the pavement because the shoulder's too high to get the water off. Mm-hmm. And I've been going about 2 years, mentioned it to you, that maybe we can cut that shoulder off, make the water drain away.
Going down
on end of 164 down toward the west end. And it can't be good for the paving, you know, freezing all, you know, so. I think it'd be good if we could get that cut off.
All right, thanks, Fred.
Thanks, Fred.
Kara Larvik, Extension Educator, University of Nebraska, requesting board approval for one new member to the Extension Board.
Good Welcome. Afternoon.
Oh, good afternoon to you.
We have one person that want to take one and pass it.
Oh.
Perfect. Thank you. We have one member that resigned, the librarian in South Sioux. And so he found a replacement, Odessa, who also works at the library. We have a great relationship with them. Mm-hmm. And so our board reviewed her application at their last meeting, and so we need to come to you to have you review it. I did also include on here a sheet about some things that we did this past year, and also a sheet on who's who that is our first call in servicing Dakota County.
So Odessa is the current librarian, is that right?
She is one of the library staff. She's actually in the youth area.
Okay, all right.
Sorry about that.
Dave Mixter, please.
She's been there quite a while. Cooley? C-O-O-L-E-Y.
Your last pointy, Jim working out all right?
He is doing good.
Oh, yeah. Well, that sounds good.
I'll make a motion to approve Odessa as a new board member for the Dakota County Extension Board. Is that do any effective date or not necessary?
Today. We have a meeting tonight. It would be great.
Better to work.
Okay. Effective today. Odessa Cooley.
All right. Thank you very much. If you have any questions about our office, please do ask.
You bet. Thank,
thank
you.
You.
Thanks, Carol.
Tony?
Yes.
Kevin?
Yes.
Larry?
Yes.
Janet?
Yes.
Martin?
Yep. Next, we have Sarah Deck, Juvenile Diversion Coordinator, seeking approval for the 2020 Community-Based Juvenile Services Aid Grant in the amount of $80,425 by the Nebraska Crime Commission.
All right. Good afternoon. So I just wanted to let you know a little bit about what we would be doing with those grant funds. We would continue to fund our alternative to detention programs, which includes electronic monitoring and then tracking. Electronic monitoring is like it's exactly what it is. It's an electronic monitor affixed to the person that lets someone know where they're at all times. The tracking service, there's not necessarily an electronic monitor involved. That's more of a person-to-person contact that's made with youth. We would be funding juvenile diversion, which is the program that the county attorney runs and that I work in, that works with youth who have been cited but have not been there's no juvenile petition filed, so there's no charge or court cost related to that. And then our school resource officer in our Homer schools, and that's currently Brian Furno. So we don't, through this grant, fund that entire position, but we do fund part of it. Mm-hmm. So. So I would just be requesting approval for those things, as well as I'm happy to answer any questions that you all may have.
Have your numbers been running pretty consistent?
Yep, actually, so the county attorney's office in Dakota County refers youth at a rate of 2 to 1. So if you compare, for every 2 kids that go to diversion, there's 1 juvenile petition that's filed. So that's really good. So where it's a cost-effective solution or alternative for the county, it's also good for those low-risk youth to not be involved in the formal juvenile justice system.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was actually in exact numbers. There were 79 youth referred last year, and 78 of those youth successfully completed.
Good.
Yeah. Good. This is an annual grant?
Yep, it's an annual grant, and it goes July 1 through June 30.
So it's will be
it's a fiscal year grant.
All right, well, I'll make a motion to approve the Juvenile Service Aid Grant.
I'd second that.
Kevin?
Yes.
Larry?
Yes.
Janet?
Yes.
Martin? Tony?
Yes.
Those of you that don't know, our emergency manager moved back to the old jail pod there, so she has a window across from where the fire hall is. And then when she vacated her room, which is a nice office, Sarah, who had been in the broom closet for a while, a very small office in the hall, Sarah moved up into that other office, so it works out really nice for her.
Yeah,
right.
Yep, it's been good.
All right, and then along with that, approved contract for service providers for the Crime Commission Juvenile Services Aid Grant, letter of understanding with Owens Educational Services to provide electronic monitoring and tracking services, and 3 agreement with Community Monitoring Services for the service of tracking, electronic monitoring, and family support services as an alternative to detention.
I took out teen court, and I should have changed my numbers to 1 and 2. There's just 2 agreements, because
mm-hmm.
teen court's no yeah. longer being funded with this grant.
So that's just a continuation of one,
yeah. Do we need another motion? Okay, I'll make a motion to approve miscellaneous item D.
Is that nice?
I'm not going to read the whole thing.
Larry?
Yes.
Janet?
Yes.
Martin?
Yeah.
Tony?
Yes.
Kevin?
Yes.
All right, Commissioner Committee reports.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Anybody have anything in the last? Actually, I didn't have anything enough. Over the holidays, a lot of times those things slow down.
Yeah.
Mail or emergency business, Joan?
You are invited this Friday to the new district judge just swearing in ceremony at 11 a.m. in the district courtroom. And then Jolene, is Bob here? Jolene Heineman, has resigned. She was here 20 some years, and she's having a going away party this afternoon at 3 o'clock, a farewell party. So.
3 to 4, right?
Yep.
Who was it?
Jolene Heineman over in the treasurer's office. Oh.
Deputy from the treasurer's office.
He's been here a long time.
Mm-hmm. What time's the judge resigned? Friday?
Friday at 11.
Did not give me, she gave me the part of the grant, those 2 declarations, but and I have the, but I don't have the, you know what, she might have sent that to me, I just didn't print it out. No, the grant. She should have that. I do too. Is that what she sent?
Yeah.
Okay.
All right, with that.
I have to come back and sign once she has it printed out.
With that, we'll go ahead and adjourn.
All right, thanks, Sharon.
You bet. Thank
yeah.
you, guys.
Thank you.
Good job.
All right. What's the biggest meeting? Right. 4 minutes?
You're just getting, We're
close.
Yeah. A safety meeting
yeah.
at 2 o'clock?
Yeah.
Okay. Oh. Larry, you got a safety meeting at 2 o'clock. And then you get donuts or cupcakes at 3 o'clock.
Copy of the D.A. Davis report. Are you talking for the reallocation?
Yeah.
Or the refinancing?
Am I going to get to do a deposition?
For the vehicles?
For what?
For both?
Maybe I can scan it to you and send it because it's huge?
Okay.
Okay?
Yeah.
Okay. You need to sign it.
Do you have my email?
Well, why don't you give it to me?
DakotaCountyStar@gmail.com.
DakotaCountyStar@gmail.com.
How's business?
Business is good.
Good.
Busier than a warm wallpaper here.
He works just like a one-legged butt kicker.
Right, a one-legged butt kicker, there you go. Both those guys are busy. Alright, thanks a lot.
You bet.
Thank you.
So we had to call Andy.